Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you here this morning. I bring greetings on behalf of Camp Philaqua. It's an exciting time of year at camp. Mika knows because she started working with us last Monday. We've got spring staff working at camp. We're getting ready for the summer season. It's an exciting transitional time. And the snow has almost all melted. Like, actually, we still have snowbanks in the corner of our parking lot. It's been an unusual winter, but we're excited to be working towards summer and having kids join us. The verse in Job, the verse that Kelly shared, is beautiful. If you read it alone, it is a poem to Camp Philaqua's byline, Discover God in Creation. All of creation is a song to the Creator. The birds sing of God's glory, the earth teaches of God's steadfastness, and the fish in the depths know their Creator. One of the defining features of Camp Philaqua is our forest. We live in the shadow of white spruce trees that have been growing for well over 100 years. Before the white spruce found this ground, there were likely lodgepole pine trees in the shaded soils of our northern exposure, as they tend to pioneer these spaces after fire and clear cut. The pine likely created the shade that grew the moss that held the moisture that keeps the roots of these tall, tall spruce trees watered. It's a unique space. The exact quarter where we live that surrounds the lodge at camp has never been logged, and it is one of the only stands of old-growth forest anywhere in our corner of the province. As I was writing this, a mother white-tailed deer and her two yearling fawns walked past my office. The deer move into the forest in the late winter to find browse. A pine marten regularly raids our garbage cans. We have bear-proof garbages out front, but it turns they're not pine marten-proof. He sneaks in through the recycling and hauls out bits of garbage and leaves them on the ground, and I pick them up again. It is a constant battle to keep squirrels out of our buildings. One time, I was in the shop, and I opened a drawer, and a squirrel, a very startled squirrel, exploded out of that drawer and over my shoulder. I was even more startled. My heart nearly stopped. We live, we sing loud songs of worship, we run, and we shout together in the heart of God's creation. It's one of the big draws of Camp Philaqua. Campers and staff often express that camp is a place where they feel close to God, and I believe a large part of that is because we are surrounded by, we are imbued with God's creation. People see and feel the beauty of creation, and through it, they understand the beauty of their Creator. The trees in our forest are also huge by Alberta standards. Our biggest trees take two or even three sets of arms to reach around, and while that is huge for Alberta, that's toothpicks compared with other ever-growing trees that live in places like Vancouver Island. Our forest is waking up right now. The trees slept hard through the winter. They wait for spring all winter. And there is a day, we had it about a week and a half ago, where you can smell the trees. It's the first day the sap starts flowing. And if you stand still and concentrate, it seems like you can feel the forest stretch and shake off the cobwebs of a too long nap. Then the buds appear. We were noting on the drive in that the buds have started to come out on the poplar trees, and the new growth stretches, and then all too quickly, the leaves turn and fall, and the trees rest again. This piece of land has long been sanctuary to birds, deer, moose, squirrels, ravens, martens, and a whole host of living and growing things, big and small, that sound a chorus here. But for all that, for all the beauty that we are surrounded by, for all the glory of creation, Job is a story of hurt. By the time this testimony of creation comes up, Job has already endured the unendurable. His wealth, family, and health all lay in ruins around him, and his friends who came to comfort him are looking to dig out what moral failing has caused this suffering. If you live long enough, you will experience hurt. We understand this to be an inevitability of the human condition. Kelly's story reflects that, and all of us can tell stories of hurt and struggle. As a person who works with a group of staff that are between 16 and 22 years old, one of the big challenges is to teach these folks about their vulnerability to hurt before they have to experience it the hard way. I don't know about you. I don't know where you were at 19. Maybe you're at 19 right now, but 19-year-old me was bulletproof. 19-year-old me did everything at a pace that betrayed the ignorance of my vulnerability, and now the me that is a few decades removed from 19 carries marks of those choices. I wear a thumb brace sometimes because of the time I broke my arm and it didn't heal very well. I have an ankle that aches after long days on my feet from an unnecessarily long fall on a climbing wall, and being barefoot isn't great for me either because the one time I fell off a roof and broke my heel. These are minor things, things I have mostly healed from, first world problems, but these are annoying reminders that not everything ends up okay. Anyone who works with youth has the almost impossible task of convincing the invincible of their invincibility. If you haven't felt hurt, it is hard to imagine that you will. I'm grateful for this ignorance, and I'm grateful for the chance to try and curb it. The part that breaks my heart is the young folks for whom that ignorance isn't there. Not all the young people that enter our camp community do so with this innocence. Occasionally, we work with campers and staff that have already reached an understanding of their mortality, campers who have been through painful cancer treatments, staff who work with disabilities and limit their mobility and leave behind pain, people who have survived painful home situations. The mother deer that walked by my office with her babies was here with three new ones last spring. She birthed triplets in the still of our woods, an amazing thing. Newborn deer are really cool critters. Within 30 minutes of being born, they can walk, and within a week, they can outrun you and I. But it takes a while before they can outrun a bear or a mountain lion. Deer are conceived and born in a very narrow window, with mature whitetails going into heat in the fall for 2 or 3 weeks, and the babies in an area all being born within days of one another. It's an evolutionary strategy called predator satiation. A predator can only eat so many young baby deer before their belly is too full to eat another one, and that means a mother of three is likely to get one or two through to adulthood. The woods is a hard place if you don't have a small brown house to protect you. Creation itself testifies to this mystery of God, this tension of God. We watch as a mother deer loses her baby. We watch as a young tree starved from lack of sunlight after seasons of striving dies before it can reach the canopy. We watch eggs full of potential smashed by the fury of the north wind. Beauty and brutality share the same ground, and they always have. Job experiences something that takes more than thumb braces to tolerate. His life is smashed around him. But what is striking about Job is not that he is angry. Anger makes sense. I would be angry. What is striking is what he never says. Job never denies God or turns away from God, never calls God unjust, never abandons his understanding of a universe governed by a creator. Even when Job's friends try to pry and find the failings that have caused this pain, Job insists on something deeper and more difficult, that God is bigger than all of this. Job refuses the tidy answers. His friends want clean theology, cause and effect, sin and consequence, a universe where the innocent prosper and the wicked suffer. But Job lives in the real world, the world of abundance and famine, cougars and baby deer, sickness and sometimes healing. The same world we all live in. Job understands something that faith communities often struggle with, that wisdom does not begin with certainty, but that it begins with humility. One of the things that we've struggled with as a camp community, and I think as a broader church, is a willingness to admit these things. A few years ago, I had a young man working for us, and he came to me after our staff training, and he asked me where the certainty was. He was dissatisfied. He wanted answers to his questions, not just to think about them more. He was seeking concrete answers, and for some of his questions, we just didn't have them. The answer, let's wrestle with this together, let's think about this, let's talk about this, wasn't enough, and he didn't stick with camp. He moved on. I've had a chance to connect with him a few times over the years, and we talked about his bounce from one faith community to another. He would find a voice that had answers, and he would revel in that certainty, only to have his confidence dashed by the next challenge or crisis. We don't have these answers because Job teaches us they don't exist. The belief in a holy ledger is a hard one for me. It's caused huge damage to people in my world. People I love that were born with bodies that can't do what others can. People born with minds that work differently. People who experience tragedy, pain, and sickness. People who suffer. These people are left asking, what is my failing? How have I let down the Almighty? How have I disappointed God? Job teaches us that these things can crash into us not as a consequence of some decision or failing, but as a consequence of living. Later on in Job, we're prepared for the next part of the story. And when God finally answers Job in Job 38 to 41, Job is not offered an explanation. God points to creation. God asks, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Have you walked the springs of the sea? Do you know the storehouses of the snow? Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades?" God does not answer Job's why. God answers Job's who. Not with arguments, but with wonder. Not with logic, but with immensity. Not with solutions, but with presence. Creation becomes the language of God. The same creation that brings us glory. I talk sometimes about the sunsets and rainbows, parts of camp. I have amazing stories like that. I've seen incredible sunsets and shared rainbows after storms with people. And all of that is juxtaposed by the clouds and mosquitoes that will get you later. The same forest that provides us sanctuary also provides scenes of suffering. The same God who creates beauty also governs mystery. It is not a soft message, but it is an honest one. Camp Philakwa is a place where people feel close to God, and that is real. But closeness to God does not mean distance from pain. It means learning to hold both. I have been incredibly privileged to laugh with thousands of campers and staff at Camp Philakwa. But I've also cried with and for so many of these same souls. We hold the beauty of our learning and the growth with the pain and friction of relationship. And in all of that, we learn and we grow. The same world, the same ground that listens to our rowdy singing also absorbs our tears, and that is holy ground. Job teaches us that faith is not pretending that the world isn't broken. Faith is trusting God in the middle of a world that is. And creation teaches us the same thing. Not that life is easy, not that suffering is fair, not that everything makes sense, but that God is present. God is bigger than our understanding. God is holding life and death, joy and sorrow, grow and decay all at once. So when creation sings, it does not sing of beauty, not only of beauty, it sings of truth. It sings of limits. It sings of dependence. It sings of mystery. It sings of a God who is near and a God who is beyond us. And that is not a contradiction. It's not a condemnation. It's not an implementation of a holy ledger. It is an opportunity to surrender to God's holy now. We will continue to wrestle with all of this in our little place in the woods. We'll continue to form communities that will talk about this and explore this, and we'll continue to walk together and hold each other up as we navigate this mystery. The mama deer and her two babies were outside my office window last Thursday. They are healthy after a long winter, and even though they may look mangy as they shed their thick winter coats, soon they'll be that shiny reddish brown of fresh coats in the springtime. They are doing well. The glory of God's creation shines through them as I sit very still in my office and very quiet to watch them forage. So my prayer for you, the prayer for me, is that God will grant us the humility to hold this beauty and this knowledge of pain in one creation. Amen.